Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. This week, Tony is talking to a special guest on the program, international Aboriginal speaker Brian Booker.
Today I'm talking with Brother Brian Booker. You're an international evangelist. Can you tell me other places that you've been and preached at other than Australia?
Yes, I certainly can. I've been to Israel, Greece, Singapore, America, Hawaii, New Zealand, South Korea, China. I'm being invited sometime this year to Indonesia, Singapore and Malaysia. I'm born and bred in Brisbane. My tribe from my father's side is Sherberg, the Waka Waka tribe. And one day I talked with my father and I said to him, "Why am I a Christian?" And he told me that before settlers came to Australia, there were Aboriginal people like Moses went up the mountain and sought the face of God, and they would come and talk to the people. And I believe their heritage of what my forefathers has is now being developed and grown into me to bring to birth things for today, what is for today.
Brian, how does other countries, other people from other countries respond to you being an Aboriginal evangelist?
Well, number one, they haven't seen an Aboriginal before and they think they're little skinny fellas, but I'm a very large fella. But they recognise me because the love of God that is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. We know that we're loved in the Beloved. When we go and you just meet people, you connect people and love them. The sad thing with the world is that it lives in a counterfeit, lying spirit world, whereas God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit come to give us the truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. And unfortunately, a lot of people believe in unbelief and believe a lie rather than believe the truth. But Jesus came to set us free and to bring us into the truth, because if you have Jesus, you have life. But if you have not Jesus, you have not life.
For a miracle. Oh, right now.
Believing in God for a Miracle, Robin Green. Tony is now going to share something that is dear to his heart.
Today I want to talk about focusing on the family. Sometimes we just try so hard to win people to the Lord, especially when you have unsaved family and friends. And you know, when you first get saved and you know God is your Saviour, you fall in love with Him and you just get so excited that you want to share it with everybody you know. Like over the years, like different people, they get so passionate about things they're doing. And I remember a long time ago that one of my brothers, you know, he got into health, Aboriginal health, and he was a drug and alcohol counsellor. But he was a drinker and smoker and all that. But you see, as soon as they get into health, they want to change everybody. And so, you know, he was passionate about we shouldn't smoke, we shouldn't drink, we shouldn't do this and do that. But, you know, when you become a Christian, you get passionate about telling people about how good God is. And I remember years and years ago, me and my family lived in Sydney. And one of my other brothers had this great idea for a family Christmas. And you see, that wasn't a bad idea because when I was a kid growing up, we used to have good old-fashioned family Christmases. I remember when I was a kid growing up, my dad, he borrowed a truck because back in them days, there weren't a lot of vehicles around. One of my aunties had a car and Dad borrowed this big truck and there was no things about seatbelts or anything like that. It was a big tabletop truck and, you know, you just pile as many black fellas into the truck as you can get. And four families, you know, my mum's family, the Dennisons, the Canes, the Cutmores and the Saunderses, we all got together. It must have been 50 or 60 of us. Anyway, we goes out of town to the river and we had this beautiful picnic. We was only little kids and the women organised all the food, you know. And see, like today in modern day times, you know, you can have a baked dinner any day of the week, a bit of baked chicken and things like that. But when we was growing up, a baked chicken was only at Christmas time. Roast beef or roast lamb and things like that, they were for special occasions. And I remember this particular Christmas. The men who used to drink, we didn't have Eskies with ice and things like that. But being good old professional black fellas, they took all the grog and put it in the stream and let the cold water run over it. They was fishing, the kids were playing, the kids were swimming. I remember I got an air rifle for Christmas that year. Man, I ran amok with that thing. I mean, shooting anything that moved, and I was so full of larrikin, you know, I was a real larrikin. We had a great Christmas. And you know, when I was a kid, you miss those sort of things because it's all about families. And as I grew older, and after getting out of prison and being involved in a church in Sydney and involved in ministry, I wanted to get my family saved. Because when I was in prison, I ministered on numerous occasions. I ministered to other families, people in prison and their families when they come to visit. And through testimonies and, you know, writing stuff out and preaching to prisoners. And I said to God, I said, God, who's going to lead my family to the Lord? And God showed me that my mum would get saved first. And God's never late with His promises. And you know, mum got saved and my dad got saved just before he died. But I got a lot of brothers out there that aren't saved and a sister, you know, and I got other family members that I want to bring to the Lord. And so we had this Christmas, and one of my brothers decided to pull the family together and we go to the Central Coast and have a Christmas. And it was going to be like the old ones. You know, we're going to get together, we're all going to pool in money for Christmas. Anyway, we get there. My family's the only one that's saved. And so we're trying to be a lighthouse for those that are unsaved in the darkness. And I've always had a temper. And, you know, God's been dealing with my temper for a long time. When you really try so hard to make something such a perfect weekend so that they can see God's light shine through us, and we're going to be a bold witness. But you see, one of my brothers used to rub me the wrong way all the time. I love him. I love my family. And I used to say, God, I said, yes, I just want to see them saved. Anyway, we're getting there, And, you know, we're there Christmas Eve and Christmas morning we get up and the kids all open their presents. What a fantastic time when kids all open their presents. My brother was a single dad and he was raising his daughter all on his own. We'd gone to the beach and she had a surfboard thing or some floating device like a surfboard, and she'd left it behind. And then when we got home, we went back to look for it and it wasn't there. And then he started arguing, saying it was my fault. I should have made sure it came home and this and that and that. Anyway, and he just started this argument. And anyway, the harder I tried to control my temper, I couldn't. And the worst thing he could have ever did was he shaped up to me. And that's all it was, that he just shaped up, saying, well, go on, I'm not frightened of you. But as soon as he finished saying that, I'd knocked him out. He didn't stand a chance. I just hit him, and he was out cold. I was so angry with myself. Oh, God, how can you allow this to happen? We're supposed to be a light for this family. And I just blew God's testimony. And I packed the family up, and, you know, we'd put all this money in for food, and we weren't even going to stick around to have it. You know, I got so mad, I packed the wife and the kids up when we went back to Sydney. And I was so angry with myself. When I get home, the pastor rings up. He said, are you okay for, you ready to preach tomorrow? I said, what? He said, you're going to preach tomorrow. And I said, oh, can I get back to you? I'm not sure whether I can preach tomorrow. I said, can I just get back to you? And he said, okay, ring me by 4 o'clock. Let me know if you can preach. If you can't, well, then I'll find someone else. I went away. I wanted to be alone with God, and I wanted to see what God thought about it. I was so down in myself. Look, I was so far down in my spirits and so far down in myself. Even a worm was higher than I was. I couldn't even bring myself up to lift my head above a worm. And that's how low I felt in myself. And I said, God, I said, how can I stand up tomorrow in front of a church full of people and preach when I did this? God's so good and he's so gracious. You know what God said to me? He said, Tony, he said, when did you think I found out about it? When do you think I found out about what you did? God said, I knew about it before you was even born. And most of all, I was there when you actually did hit him. And you see, God said, when you confessed that, when you said to me, you said, God, how can I preach because of what I just did? God said, the moment you confessed it, I forgave you. The moment you come out and said it, that you repented for what you did, he said, you know, I forgave you. God says yes to his promises, taking at his word.
Shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open, and that's a promise. He said he'll finish the work he started in you. Your needs he will supply. He'll never leave you nor forsake. You, and that's a promise. It's a guarantee. It's a beautiful thing. He delights to keep his word. God says yes to his promises. Take him at his word. Yeah, you can believe it. God says yes to a childlike faith. In our weakness, and that's a promise.
That was John Waller with Yes. You're listening to King's Kids. Tony has been sharing with us how he felt he has let himself and God down by his behaviour at the family Christmas get-together. Now he shares with us how God drew Tony close to him again.
God said, I want to show you something. He said, Tony, come with me. I want to show you something. And God showed me in the Spirit. He showed me an ocean in heaven. He said, as far as the east is to the west, there's no end to this ocean. And God said, I call it the Sea of Forgetfulness. And I said, why do you call it that? And God said, because when man sins and confesses his sins, he said, I'm faithful. I take that sin and I throw it into the Sea of Forgetfulness. God says, I don't have a bad memory. But when you confess that sin and give it to me, I just take it away from you and I throw it in there. But I said, God, on the shoreline there, there's a sign that says no fishing. What does that mean? Can you tell me what no fishing means in heaven? Is there no fish in that sea? And God said to me, Tony, it's people like you that when you give me your sins and you confess them and I take them away from you, they're no longer yours. I've taken them, I've forgiven you, I put them in the Sea of Forgetfulness. But he said, what happens is 2 days later or 2 hours later, sometimes 5 minutes later, you don't feel forgiven. And so you give the devil a toehold. He's nothing but a liar. He's a thief. He comes to destroy. He's a murderer. And he's the father of all lies. And you see, the problem with Christians is this. And even if you're not a Christian, the problem is with people is when they do something wrong and they say sorry, even if you say sorry to your partner, even if you're not a Christian and you say sorry to your partner for something you did wrong, you know, you don't always feel forgiven. See, forgiveness is not based on your feelings. It's based on an act of love. Because if you forgive someone, you love them. And when God forgives us, he loves us. And when you forgive your partner or your brother or your sister or someone that's done you wrong, see, forgiveness isn't feelings. It's based on love, that you actually love somebody. And you see, what happened was God said to me, he said, 2 days later, 5 minutes later, the devil starts whispering in your ear. He'll sit on your shoulder and he'll say, man, how can you stand up and preach tomorrow after you snotted your brother? I mean, you just knocked him cold. How are you going to win that family? How are the brothers and sisters, how are that family going to accept God because you was God's example? This is what the devil's whispering to me. You was God's example and you blew it. You blew it big time. And you see, it wasn't until God showed me that because I was forgiven, it wasn't based on my feelings, it was based on love. The love that Jesus died on the cross for me was enough. You see, too many times we as Christians and we as people in the world, we listen to what people tell us. And we want to justify our existence by making other people feel good about us. We want other people's praises. We want them to say good things about us. But you see, if you're going to live your life waiting on what other people think of you, then you're going to be miserable. Because, you know, I've learned that I can't live my life based on what other people think of me. I can't live my life based on what other people say about me. Because, see, all my life I've had negative tones. From the time I was 2 or 3 years old, my mum and dad used to say to me, Tony Dennison, you are such a rotten kid. You are so rotten. You'll be in jail before you're 21. But you see what happened after that? My kindergarten school teacher said the same thing. All my life, people have been putting labels on me that I was nothing, that I was worthless, that I was going to be nothing but trouble. And you see, because people spoke that over my life, I believed it. And so when I got older, I was always in trouble. I was always fighting. I was always in the mischief. And then when I got older, I started robbing banks. Because see, I was living what people expected me to be. But you see, now that I've found God, I'm a brand new creation. I am justified just as if I never sinned. because I was cleansed by the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross at Calvary. When all I did was say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I ask you to forgive me. And you know, with the moment I said that with my heart and not with my head, that God actually forgave me and took away all that. So today my message is about focusing on the family is this. Be what God says you are. Be the man that God says you are. Be the husband that God calls you to be. Be the father that God calls you to be. Be the man of valor that God calls you to be.
Just as I am.
Saying to yourself in the morning when you wake up, don't wait for the devil to come and whisper and say that you're nothing but a drunkard, you're nothing but a drug addict, you're nothing but a loser, you're unemployable. When the devil comes and says all these things about you, when he says to you and people say things to you that hurt your feelings, you see, you don't have to accept their label. When you accept their label, you're allowing that to happen to you. But you know, when you wake up in the morning, you say, I am the woman that God called me to be. I am the father that God called me to be. I am the son that God called me to be. You know, I pick up my Bible every day and I say to myself, and I speak it out so the devil can hear it. I say it out loud. I am all that God says I am in his word. I claim all the promises that God has promised me in his word. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Song Just As I Am by Michael Neal. You've been listening to King's Kids. Thanks for your company today. Tony will be back next week with more insightful stories. Remember, you can find King's Kids on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International. Also, if you need prayer, you can ring Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. I'm Heidi, and Tony and I would love to have your company at the same time next week.